This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Remember to Praise God.
As your monthly flyer says, I've titled November a November to Remember. But to remember what? Last week we talked about remembering our nation's biblical heritage. And this morning I'd like to remind you, remind myself, remind all of us to praise the Lord. Praise God. Remember to praise God. Question, what is the most important thing in life? Now, everybody has a different answer for that, to be sure. Some people say, well, you know, that my children get a good education, get a good job, have a great career, have a happy marriage, love, money, fame, family. Those are the kinds of things that go through our mind. But if you put that theologically, here's how it sounds from a theological perspective. What is the chief end of man? That word end means purpose. What is the chief purpose of man? And the answer comes this way. Man's chief purpose, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Do our minds go off in that direction? Or do we think quantitatively? Do we think materialistically? Do we think in terms of what's best and what's biggest and what's brightest? Paul writes these words in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. I know, and I think I've mentioned it to you on more than one occasion, having grown up in Brooklyn in a Jewish neighborhood, I know Orthodox, very religious Jewish people, every time they take a morsel of food into their mouth, they give thanks and praise and glory to God for each morsel. Now, we're not living under the law, but how about the spirit of gratitude and the spirit of thanks for all the things that God has blessed us with? Our life should be a song of praise and glory to God. And the Bible says when Christians fail to do that, or when the world fails to do that, listen to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 14. He says, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out, if you don't do it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But if you don't praise God, all of His creation is going to do it. People in rebellion against Creator God don't sing praises to His name. But the rest of creation who isn't in rebellion to the Creator, the universe is in submission to God. And if it wasn't in submission to the Lord God, it would explode in a huge bang. And if you want to talk about a big bang, and that's no theory, it would happen if the world wasn't in submission to Creator God. So this morning, I'd like, as the objectives of our lesson, to define praise and worship, then to list reasons why we should praise the Lord, and then I'd like to share with you how to do that. So let's begin. The dictionary says praise is to bestow approval. You know, you pat somebody on the back and you say, hey, you're doing a great job. I can't tell you the difference between motivating the people who work for you by telling them once in a while they're doing a great job, and I just never could get it into my mind as a former employer how people wouldn't tell the people who work with them how much they appreciate what it is that they do. Thank you for those words of expression and those actions of expression to tell my family and myself how much you appreciate us in this time. Those words are so encouraging, to say thank you once in a while and to say I appreciate you once in a while. What's wrong with telling God once in a while, like all the time? I love you and I appreciate you. I glorify you. I worship you. I approve of you. I acclaim your name and I adore you. That's supposedly the dictionary definition of the words praise. The Hebrew yada means to stretch out the hand in praise, to hold out hands in reverence, to open the hands and let everything go. Have you seen Christians who, when they pray like this, open-handed? Or who pray like this with their hands in the air? And do you wonder, now, there are a number of folks here in this congregation who will sing praises this way. And that's exactly what the word praise means. When it's shown dramatically through the hands, to be lifted up and say, I let go. But that's our problem. We don't want to let anything go. We don't even want to face our own problems. We don't want to face our fears, our anger, our jealousy, our negative attitudes, our worry, anxiety. In exchange, we give ourselves over to praise of the Lord when we do that. When we say, I can't do this anymore. I am not going to dwell on all these negatives. I just want to praise you. So I'll tell you this. If your mind is filled with praising the Lord, your mind has no room for anything else. Your mind has no room for negative attitudes and fears and anxieties. And when you're going through such periods, such seasons and such circumstances with those kinds of issues hanging over your head, try saying, I love you, Lord. Try singing his praises. See what happens. See if the positive doesn't push out the negative. In life, we praise those things we love, admire, and prize highly. If we hold the Lord with that high degree of respect and admiration, it should come easily for us to praise him. If you really meant what you sang this morning, I sing praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. If you really mean that in the deepest fibers of your heart and soul, it shouldn't be so hard to give him praises throughout your day and to thank him for the little things. Listen, when we lived in Brooklyn, the hardest thing in Brooklyn to find was a parking space. Amen, amen, amen. It was so tough to find a place. We would go to the supermarket, which was not close. Occasionally, we take our car there, and then we would start praying for a parking spot. And can I tell you how many times the Lord blessed us with a parking spot? So instead of having to walk 12 blocks to get to our apartment and then walk up four flights of stairs to get to our apartment, we parked pretty much right in front of the door. It made things easier. How much prayer should a hamburger get? How much praise should the little things get in our lives? And how much do we praise the Lord for just the little things? So why should we praise the Lord? Let's take our text. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 to 12, 23, 33, and 34. And let's glean seven reasons to praise the Lord from this text. Just seven things. There are others there. But I've gleaned these seven. Number one comes from verses 8, 10, and 11. Praise God for the privilege of prayer. The privilege to pray. It's been said that an army advances on its stomach. Amen, Joe? Amen. An army advances on its stomach. If you cut off their supplies, they're finished. If an army advances on its stomach, then it could be said that the body of believers, the church, advances on its knees. We need prayer as much as we need our spiritual food. If God is a King of Kings, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, think how amazing it is to have access to him in prayer. Think about this. We just elected a new president. Now, if you know anything about the President Trump, you'll know that if you were walking on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan back about 3 years ago, you stood a very good chance of running into him. And he'd say hi to you. There were no barricades or blockades out in front of Trump Tower where he does his business and lives, where his residence is. Now you couldn't get near him with a flashlight and a crowbar. There's no way. There are sanitation trucks all around that block that he lives on. You can't get access to these powerful people. But hello, I serve the King of Kings. There's going to be a day when every president who's ever been, how many were there? 45 so far with Trump included? They're all going to bow before Jesus. Every dictator, every two-bit dictator that ever lived who thought he was going to take over the world, every one of them is going to bow before Jesus Christ. We can't have access to them, but we have absolute access to Jesus Christ. Can you get your arms around that? Can you think of what a privilege this is to stand before the Lord and pray, to kneel before the Lord and cry out from your heart and know that he's listening and he cares? One of the reasons why Trump became president is because the elites in Washington weren't listening to us anymore. And the average little person's cry for help, they put a deaf ear to it. God's never put a deaf ear to your cry for help. Prayer is not an option in the life of the believer. Prayer is the soul's very life's blood. When was the last time you spoke to the Lord? Examine your heart. Number two comes from verse 8. Praise God for what he's done in your life. John 10 says, Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. It's not a quantity of years. It's a quality of life. What Christ has brought into your life is a quality of living, a reason for living, a purpose, a promise. A promise that delivers a life worth living. A life of service to God and to other people. A life reaching out beyond ourselves and reaching out for what really matters, to serve the Lord in a meaningful way, to help other people. Politicians say they want to bring hope. They can't. They want to bring help. They haven't. But Jesus delivers on his promises. What's he done in your life? You have a personal relationship to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let that roll around in your mental processes. We hold in our hands the great gift that God's given us for truth, this book. He's done that in our lives. What has he done in your life? Only you can answer that question. Look inside yourself and say, what has Jesus done in my life? And as you search your soul, you will be amazed. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Number three comes from verse 9. Praise God for his wondrous and marvelous works. Think about this. In the beginning, God created everything out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. There isn't a sculptor. There isn't an artist. There isn't a painter who has sculpted an image from nothing. They have to use something to create this thing. When God spoke, he spoke this universe into being just by the energy of his words. There was nothing there before. Matter didn't exist. God formed the matter, and then God made order out of that matter. Do you believe that? The ground we stand on, the sky above, the vast universe, and every living creature which inhabits a planet, he made uniquely suited to support life. Speak to the power of Creator God. Psalm 19 and verse 1, one of everybody's favorites, I assume. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. When you look at the beautiful painting, you see more than the painting. You see the creative mind of the painter. You see the skillful and masterful touch of the painter. You don't see the painter himself or herself. You see the work. As you look around, as the leaves begin to fall like showers of rain and gold covers the front of your car, the beauty of that falling leaves is just a picture of how beautiful God made everything. Not just to function, not just to do a job, but to bring joy to your heart and to your life. The beauty of all creation all around us is enough to make us catch our breath in astonished wonder. Number four comes from verse 10. Praise him for his holy name. Now in Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare asks the following question. What's in a name? What's in a name? There is a great deal in a name. Most of you have a name that means something. Some of you may not. I mean, if your parents got your name out of a Campbell's alphabet soup can, maybe not. Hi, ABC, how are you? But most names have meaning, and especially back in the days when the Hebrews named their children, the Hebrews named them with names that they thought kind of was descriptive of what that child was going to be like. Strong, powerful, weak, whatever. But to the Hebrews of old, the names of God revealed some aspect of his nature. There was something about the nature and character of God that they wanted to express. So God doesn't have just one name. He has many names, and they describe something about him. And that something has a meaning to us today. So let me just give you a few of those. One of his names is Elohim. Now that's an interesting name because it first appears in and around Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. And that name God was plural. It's the plural use of the word, the name God. So that gives us an understanding how far back the doctrine of the Trinity begins. All the way back in Genesis, at the beginning of the creation of the world and man, God says he is more than just one entity. He is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Elohim means more than one. It's multiples. It's plural. El means the strong one. Jehovah means the Most High God. El Shaddai means the Almighty God. Jehovah Hasinu means the Lord our Maker. Jehovah Jireh, we know that one, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rophi, the physician. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our peace. And Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Those, all of those names, if you were to break them down, and if you were to meditate on what they mean in your life, what does it mean for God to be your shepherd? That means that in the times when I am out thinking I'm lost, there is someone following me, looking for me, coming for me, seeking me, trying to find me, trying to pull me out of the mess I got myself into. And when you think that you made your own life, you made your success, think of the one who made you, who enabled you to have success. What's in a name? Philippians 2:10 says this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That is some powerful name. Not just the tyrants and the great, but also the supernatural. Also these unseen enemies, adversaries, and angels. They're all going to bow to Jesus. And we're going to see that. Number 5 is found in verse 23. Praise God for salvation. That's a big one on my list, to praise God for salvation. I am so blessed to know that I am saved. To know that if I were to close my eyes down here, I'd open my eyes and be in heaven. Wow. Billy Graham said this, there is no more urgent and critical question in life than that of your personal relationship with God and your eternal salvation. We could save ourselves from eternal death. We could not save ourselves from eternal damnation. We, all humanity, needed and needs a Savior, and that Savior, Jesus Christ, came to earth 2,000 years ago to be born in a stable, to be crucified on a garbage heap, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and then 3 days later to rise from the dead, that you and I may have the gift of salvation. His blood was shed for you and for me, that we might have salvation. That was his whole purpose in coming to earth. That the world through him would not be condemned, but that the world would be saved. A man named Benjamin Rush, you may or may not know that name, he was one of the signers of the Declaration. He put it this way, my only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God, manifested to the world by the death of his Son upon the cross. Nothing but his blood will wash away my sins. I rely exclusively upon it. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Do we take our salvation for granted? Do we walk around believing that we're just like everybody else? Oh, well, not better than anybody else. But we have Christ in our heart. We're not better than our neighbor who doesn't know Christ. We're saved. They're not. They've chosen to reject Christ. You've chosen to receive Christ. We're not better than anybody else. We're just better than we would have been without Jesus. Amen? Number 6 is found in verse 33. Praise the Lord for his soon return. Praise the Lord for his soon return. The Bible warned this, that one day critics would say something. 2 Peter 3:4 says this, that the critics would say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers, that's the prophets, fell asleep, since they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The key to knowing the times, the seasons, and the signs of Jesus' imminent return to our atmosphere to call his children home at the event we call the rapture is to know the key prophecy found in Matthew 24, 32, and that was fulfilled 68 years ago with the birth of Israel. The Bible calls that the parable of the fig tree. To see that the country, the nation of Israel would be reborn. For 2,000 years, people said they believed that, but knew they hadn't seen that. And for those who said 1,000 years ago that the rapture was imminent, well, they must have meant what the Bible says, a day unto the Lord is 1,000 years. That day could not be imminent until Israel was reborn in 1948, May 15th, 1948, emblazoned that date on your mind. That's when that prophecy clicked. And that's when prophecy about the rapture begins to take on imminent sense of urgency. My brothers and my sisters, it is literally true that we could be sitting here and all of a sudden, home in heaven. Home in heaven. Question, are you ready? Have you given your heart to the Lord? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Are you taking your salvation for granted? Are you forgetting to pray? Are you forgetting to get into the Word? Number 7, praise God for His goodness and His mercy. Well, goodness is easier to recognize than define. I'm finding that out. The dictionary says that goodness goodness is extending the best, positive, kind, and generous. Doesn't sound like a really good definition, but that's what it is. Mercy is defined as kind and compassionate treatment of an offender, enemy, or other person under one's power. In other words, unlike elections, you don't get what you deserve when God's mercy and grace are shining upon you. And I say, thank you, Lord. Because if any of us, and myself, number one, if any of us were to get what we deserve, we'd be in pretty bad shape. Hell would be our destination. But no, it's our reward because we receive Christ as Savior. The best picture of that is just two verses you need to have in your lexicon of things. Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23. The best picture of not getting what you deserve is found there. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then there really should be a but. I'm not writing the Bible. But Romans 6:23 says this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You deserve death. I deserve death. We deserve death. But God gave the gift of His Son to save us from ourselves and our destination in hell. God loves you. For God so loved the world that He freely gave His only begotten Son. Psalm 23 contains 14 blessings the Lord, our good shepherd, extends to His sheep. Among them is a promise. And it's found in the last verse of Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will. Oh, no, wait a minute. Maybe it is that I might, or I may, or maybe. No, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You have the assurance that if you've put your faith and trust in Christ and let Him be your good shepherd, you have a destination, a home in heaven. God's blessing and promises follow the believer all the way through life, through death, and through eternity. This alone should be sufficient to join the rest of creation in praise to our God. Psalm 150, verse 6 says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. My question to you this morning, are you breathing? I don't know. I'm looking out over here. I may have to get a mirror. If you have breath, praise the Lord. The birds are doing it. The wind as it whistles through the trees is doing it. They're praising God because they're following His instructions to them to do what He's commanded. So my question to you this morning is, how do we praise the Lord? And this is not a Bob. This is a Bible. Look at it. Number one, Psalm 47, how to praise the Lord. Verse 7 says, with understanding. We don't, after we've received Christ, it's not blind faith. We know that we know that we know. Surely we see through a glass darkly, but we know enough of what God's done in our life and understand His Word enough to give Him praises. If all we ever do was recognize John 3:16, That should be enough understanding to praise the Lord. Number two, Psalm 9:1. Praise the Lord with all that is within you. It's not just lip service. We'll get to that in a second. But it's everything that you have. It comes from a well deep inside of you that says, I love you, Lord. I want to live my life for you, Lord. I want to give myself to you, Lord. I want to be all in for Jesus and all out for Jesus. Number three, Psalm 63. My lips shall praise thee. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We are quiet about our faith. And as long as you're quiet about your faith, you may not be reaching the people that God wanted you to reach when he gave you that moment of divine appointment to speak his name. Who is there in your sphere of influence? Who are your friends? Who are your neighbors? Who are the people in your family who don't know Jesus? You may be the one God wants to use to reach them just by saying a word of testimony. Here's what God's done in my life. Number four, Psalm 63:5 says, with joy. We're supposed to be a pretty joyful bunch. And yet, sometimes we just don't look it. And sometimes our attitudes just don't reflect it. And sometimes we are bitter complainers. We're not bitter clingers. I wish we were. Not bitter clingers, but clingers. But sometimes we're just bitter. And sometimes we're just angry. And sometimes we're a lot of other negative things and we won't let go. But God, when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, one of the precious fruit of the Spirit is joy. All I'm saying to you this morning is, it's in there. Let it out. Number five, Psalm 147, verse 7. Praise the Lord with thanksgiving. Count your blessings, you'll do that. Six, Psalm 71 in verse 6. My praise shall be continually. It's not a one-off. It's not a one-time once. It's not an event. It's not a Thanksgiving service. It's not, how many of you praise the Lord this morning? No, it's not that. It's a continual praise, a continual recognition of being blessed. Psalm 104, 33, number 7. As long as I live, I will praise the Lord, and I'll praise him with all my life. Your life is an act of praise if you're living for him. And what the world needs more than anything else is it needs to see authentic, genuine Christianity being lived out by those who name the name of Jesus. People are watching you long before they hear you. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.